Because I'm quite sure where we're going this morning, most of us won't find it for a while. Amen. The index is in there for a purpose. Turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. Book of Habakkuk. Now, with all seriousness, if you don't know where it's at, we don't have time for you to try to find it. Just go to the index. I want you to find Habakkuk chapter number 3. If you'll stand with me as we honor the reading of the Lord's word this morning. Habakkuk chapter 3, when you have found it, say amen. I want to read verses 1 and 2. And then I want to skip over and read verse 16 through verse 19. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigenu. O Lord, I have heard your speech, and I was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Verse 16. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble, when he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labors of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we are so grateful and thankful this morning for the gift of life. We thank you for your grace and for all of your goodness that you show to us. And Lord, we thank you for just another opportunity to come and to worship your holy name amongst your people. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word, to hear what thus said the Lord to our hearts and souls. I pray that you would make us aggressive hearers. Let us not be overtaken with the spirit of slumber or sleep, or be distracted from what the Spirit of God wants to say to us this morning from your word. I pray that you would give me preaching power, that you would anoint me, Father, to be able to break open the bread of life, and that every hungry and willing soul may freely eat. I lift up to you this morning our faithful members who would normally be here, but because of some difficulty, because of some trials and some tribulations, they're not here this morning. Would you pour out your blessing upon them? God, in particular, I lift up Deacon John Avery. Even in his old age, Father, he's been faithful to you. Even in times when he didn't feel well, he has remembered your name and your glory. I lift up Sister Jessie, Vaden, and Ryan Thomas to you this morning. I don't have to remind you, Heavenly Father, that they love you. And I know that you love them. And so I pray your blessings upon them this morning. And bless this little flock. Let us hear what the Spirit has to say to the church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's always a joy. It's always a wonderful privilege to be blessed to come into the house of the Lord. You know, the older I get, the more I'm reminded that the days out in front of me are probably less than the days behind me. And so I try to live now every moment with a grateful heart and with an open eye looking for the return of Jesus Christ. And so I'm thankful this morning to be here. Not that I feel so much like preaching, but I'm just thankful. I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm thankful to be among God's people. Briefly this morning, I want to talk to us about praying in the days of darkness. Praying in the days of darkness. The background to the book of Habakkuk is one of apostasy. Most of the people who lived in Judah and in Israel during Habakkuk's lifetime were in a backslidden condition. The book of Habakkuk is written during a time when there was great evil and wickedness among the nation of Israel. Habakkuk uses words like violence and iniquity and grievance and spoiling to describe the day in which he lived. It was a dark time in the history of Israel. It was a time when the people who had been brought into a covenant relationship with Almighty God had walked away, had broken the covenant. God raised up prophet after prophet trying to warn Israel as well as Judah that they needed to repent and return back to him. It's dark day. It's difficult days. It's days when a whole nation who had been so richly blessed by God had rebelled against God. But Habakkuk did then in Israel, in Judah, what Christians in America must do right now. He prayed.
Amen. Amen.
He prayed. If you study the book of Habakkuk, you start in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verses 1 through verse 5, Habakkuk takes his concerns and his fears to God in prayer. Habakkuk has two questions for the Lord. Questions that Most of us, if we would be honest, have asked God if we've been saved for any amount of time. He asked God, how long are you going to let this go on? How long, listen, how long are you going to put up with the wickedness and the violence and the wickedness and the evil in which the people are doing right before your eyes? Habakkuk's second question to God, since God didn't answer that question, Habakkuk's second question to God is why? Why did you put me in a situation like this? Why did you let this happen in my lifetime? And all of us, in the days of difficulty and darkness, those questions have a way of surfacing in our hearts.
Yes, they do. Amen.
How long? How long are you going to make me put up with this crazy spouse?
Come on. Help him. Amen.
How long are you going to make me have to endure with these rebellious children?
Come on. Amen.
How long is it going to be before you give me a new boss?
Come on. Yes, sir. Amen.
How long do I have to wait before I get my breakthrough?
Amen.
How long is it going to be before you turn things around for me? I seen you turn around for my neighbors. I watched you do it for the family up the street. But when are you going to do something about my situation? When God don't answer the question, how long? And most of the time he don't answer that question. Our next question is, Lord, why me? Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? Why is my life falling apart? That was Habakkuk's question to God. And if you keep reading in chapter 1, you'll find out that God, in verses 6 through verse 11, responded to Habakkuk's question. He responded to Habakkuk's prayer. And God would inform Habakkuk that I got my eye on the situation. And I'm working on the dilemma. In fact, Habakkuk, I'm going to use the Chaldeans. I'm going to use the Babylonians to bring some correction in the nation of Judah, in the land of Judah. The answer to that question stirred Habakkuk even more than the original problem. Because Habakkuk knew that the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, were a more wicked people than Judah. Come on, get this, this is all I got. And so Habakkuk, in the last part of chapter 1, Habakkuk said, now wait a minute, Lord. You mean to tell me that you're going to use heathens to correct Christians?
Yes, sir.
You mean to tell me you're going to use a people that's worse than we are to discipline us? And this thing troubled Habakkuk. It caused Habakkuk, some anguish in the heart. And so as I studied this book, there were a lot of thoughts that kept surfacing in my heart, a lot of things that kept running through my mind. But the one thing that the Holy Ghost would not let me get away from is that you and I need to learn how to pray in dark days.
Amen.
Now listen, because this is going to be real quick. Hour and a half, we be gone. We need to learn how to pray when life falls apart.
Amen. Amen.
We need to learn how to pray when life turn on us.
Amen.
We need to learn how to pray when the light goes out and all we can see is darkness. Because I'm going to tell you, church, things may be well with you now. But if you keep living and Jesus tarry, there will be some storms in your life. that there will be some days of difficulty. There will be some days of darkness. There will be some days when life don't make sense. And the answer that God gives is not the one that you want. Habakkuk in chapter 3 offers up one last prayer. I want to tell you this morning that we can learn some things from Habakkuk's prayer. I had a chance last night to spend some time with Jesse and Vaden. And I told her that, I told Miss Jessie, I said, you know, I'm going to give you the passage of scripture that I thought I was going to preach, but I don't think I'm going to preach that. And I gave her these verses. But on my way home, and as I thought about it, and I thought about Jessie, and I thought about Dayton, and I thought about all of the things that they have been forced to endure as born again children of God, as a family who loves the Lord, who you know, if you've been around Solid Rock for any length of time, you know that there were very few times when the doors were open that they weren't here. That there were very few times when something needed to be done that they didn't show up to help. A family that loved God, but yet they find themselves in a dark moment in life. My first point to you this morning, and if you don't get nothing else, you get this. You are not immune to the trials and the tribulations of life. I don't care how much you love God. I don't care how often you pray. I don't care how big the cross is around your neck. Life will turn on you. You might be living wide and handsome right now, but honey, let me tell you, don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. One trip to the store can change your life. One phone call can change your life. So, Brother Rick, how do we pray? How do we pray in dark days? Because let me tell you something, listen to me. There's never a time in our lives when we don't need to pray. Prayer is always in order. Prayer is always in order. The Bible said we ought to always pray and not to faint. Paul, the Apostle Paul said that we're to face every difficulty and every day with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We ought to be praying, folks. So we ought to always pray. But can I just tell you, as I thought about life and I thought about my friends and I thought about the people who are going through some very difficult times in their life, can I tell you that prayer takes on a all new special meaning when you're in darkness, when you're going through something. Habakkuk is in some dark days. And there are six things that I want us to learn about praying in dark days. I want to give them to you, and then we'll go to the verse and you can look at them for yourself. But here's the first one. When you find yourself in the midst of a dark season, a difficult season in your life, when you pray, and you need to pray, keep the focus on God's work and God's will. That don't sound like much, Tom Betty, but that's important. Keep the focus on God's work and God's will in the midst of this circumstance, in the midst of this difficulty that you're going through. You see, God had allowed all of this to happen in the life of Judah and in the life of Habakkuk because God had a purpose in the midst of the pain. He's working out his plan. He's working out his will. Listen, he's bringing about his purpose and plan for the nation of Israel, for the people of Judah. And you and I need, when we pray, listen, in the midst of our dark days, it's important that we keep the focus not on what I want, but on what God wants. Not on my will, but on God's will. Look with me in verse number 2. Here's how Habakkuk started his prayer. He said, "Oh Lord, I've heard your speech." You need to underline that. He said, "I've heard what you had to say. I've heard your words. I've heard your message." He said, "And it made me afraid." And then Habakkuk said, "Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known, and in wrath, remember mercy." Three things that he prayed for. He prayed for God to revive his work. The word revive here means to quicken or to restore life in a situation or a person. And Habakkuk said, "Lord, I don't understand all that you're doing. I don't necessarily agree with the methods that you're using. But I pray that, listen, I know you've been doing something in Judah. I know that you have a purpose and a plan for your people. And don't let that die." Revive. Revive the work that you started. Let the work that you started live on. You got to keep the focus. Not on what you want, but on what God wants. Because listen, in the midst of our darkness, it's easy for us to become self-centered. Amen. 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 Listen, I know it is for Anthony Blessing. Now, maybe y'all gotten past that. Maybe you've grown up further than I have. But listen, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our darkness, it's easy for us to become self-focused. It's easy for us to want what we want in spite of the fact that God may not get his glory out of what we want. Amen. Amen. I remember when my mom first started getting sick. And one of the hardest things for me to do in all of my life is to pray, "God, your will be done." You know why, Solid Rock? Because I was afraid that God's will wasn't what I wanted. And so Habakkuk prays and said, "Lord, listen, this is uncomfortable. This makes me nervous. This makes me scared. I know that the Babylonians coming is going to be a devastating thing. But your will be done. I know that you love us enough that whatever you allow to happen, if we will let you, you will bring something good out of it."
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Amen. Are you in a dark moment in your life? Are you going through something? If you can keep the focus on his will and his work, you'll be better off. He prays that God will revive the work in the midst of the years. But the second thing he prays in verse number 1, he prays that in the midst of the years, make known. Make known. The word make known there means to reveal. It means to uncover. Listen, it means to give understanding in something. Now, Habakkuk is not necessarily praying that God will help them to understand why they're going through this or helping them to understand what's going to happen next. What Habakkuk is praying is, "Lord, make known who you are in the midst of this. Make known your goodness. Make known your grace. Make known to us in the midst of these 70 years, because for 70 years, they're going to go to Babylon. But help us to know that you're God in Babylon, just like you're God in Jerusalem."
Amen. Amen.
He said, make known Make known, listen to me. Habakkuk starts out asking God for an explanation. But he ends up asking God for a revelation. You see, we don't live by explanation. Listen, we don't walk by explanation. Listen, we walk by revelation of who God is. I may not never understand why this happened. I may not never understand why I'm going through this. But here's what I can get a hold of. The God that I serve, the God that I love, and the God who loves me, he is the same yesterday as he was yesterday as he is today. And if there be a tomorrow, he won't change. How do you pray? How do you pray when life is falling apart in your, right in your hands? How do you pray when your finances are fading? How do you pray when you got a child that is sick or injured? 1st thing, you focus on the will of God. You focus on the work of God. You focus on what he wants. Because listen to me, if he gets his will, you'll get what you want. You may not know you want it until after you get it. He prays. He prays, Lord, revive your work. Revive your work. You know, some of us here this morning and we got children who are not living the way they were raised. Amen. They weren't raised the way they're living right now. And you're wondering, what do I do? Let me tell you what you do. You pray for them. You pray for them. Listen, you pray for them. But then listen, here's the specific of your prayer. Lord, revive your work in them. Amen. Revive your work, what you started. You see, we think we started it. We think because we were bringing them to church and they were singing in the children's choir and they were always in. We think we started, but what was going on in them was much too big for your hands. Amen. Revive the work that you started in them. But then he said, I pray that you'll make known in the midst of the years. But then the final thing that he prays in verse 1, and we'll rush on, but listen, he prays, in wrath, remember mercy. Boy, that's a good prayer. In wrath, remember mercy. Now listen, here's what Habakkuk is saying. Habakkuk is saying, I know that we deserve to be disciplined. I know that what we are being charged with is not false accusations. Oh, we're guilty. I know we're guilty. But listen, Lord, I'm asking you, don't give us the full-blown blow of what we deserve. In the midst of your wrath, in the midst of your anger, remember mercy. He's asking God, don't give us the full cup of what we ought to get. First thing that I want you to see this morning, this text, I just want you to see, now here's the point. Keep the focus on God's work and God's will. But then there's a second thing that I want you to see. From verse 3 to verse 15, Habakkuk reflects upon the good dealings of God with the nation of Israel. He does this to encourage them in the midst of this darkness that they're going through. Now watch, listen to me. Number one, we need to keep the focus on God, on God's will and God's work. But here's the second thing that makes praying in dark times powerful. And that is, be encouraged by the grace and the mercy that you received in the past. They don't sound like much. But when you're in darkness, when life is falling apart, when life look like it's going to hell in a handbasket, one of the great encouragements is to know that the same God who delivered you from the last dilemma is the same God who's going to get you through this one. There are some people who are members of Solid Rock. They don't come to church anymore. At least they don't come here. They don't show up at Bible study. They don't come to morning or evening worship. And some of them I have personal knowledge of. I know that they're in a storm. I know that they're going through some seasons or some moments of darkness. And somehow or another, in the midst of the darkness, they have forgotten what they learned in the light.
Amen.
You see, I keep telling you, Solid Rock, that the devil believes that if he can make you hurt long enough, and if he can make you hurt deep enough, sooner or later, you will walk away from God. And so they're gone. They're gone, and can Pastor Anthony tell you that every day of my life I try to remember to pray for them because I love them just like I love you. But they're gone. And the primary reason they're gone, thus said the Holy Spirit, is that what they're facing now, they have forgotten that I'm the same God that brought them through like similar circumstances in the past. Don't ever forget who brought you. In the midst of your difficulty, in the midst of your darkness, and I promise you, Harry, if you keep living and Jesus don't return soon, there are going to be some dark days in your life and there are going to be some in my life. You can't forget that the same God that brought you in 2015 is the same God who sits on the throne that's bringing you in 2016. Let me tell you, circumstances will change. People will change. Time change, but he's the same. Be encouraged by the past. This ain't the first dark moment you've been through in your life. Come on now, somebody talk back to me for just a minute. This is not the first time that your life been in trouble. This is not the first time you didn't have enough money to meet the month. This is not the first time your children went crazy. And the same God who brought you through yesterday is the God who will bring you through today. Habakkuk reflects upon the past. He prays. He thanks God for the past because in looking back over his life, he gained courage and strength to face what was up the road for him. Here's the third thing that I want you to see. And this is really important. So don't sleep through this one. How do you pray in dark days? You pray but you also accept God's means of accomplishing his purpose. That's important. That's important. You pray but you also accept God's means of accomplishing his purpose. Most of the time, church, when we pray trying to change God's mind about things. Amen. We pray trying to get God to do it a different way. We pray trying to ask God or convince God that this don't need to be done at all. But when Habakkuk prayed in verse 16, I want you to listen to what he said. He said, when I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I may rest in the day of trouble. Now watch this. This is key. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Habakkuk said, I know that Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon is coming. I know it. I prayed. I tried to get God to change his mind, but God said, I'm not going to change my mind. I'm not going to do it in a different way. He said, so listen, I got to accept what God is doing. Dr. Adrian Rogers said it best. He said, listen, prayer is not designed to get our will done in heaven. It's really designed to get God's will done on earth. So what do you do when God says no? What do you do when God says, I'm not going to hold back the Chaldeans? This is the way I'm going to do it. What do you do when, listen, when God hears your prayers, I'm not going to change how I'm going to accomplish this. You accept it. You don't get mad and pout. You don't quit coming to church. You don't quit praying. You don't quit singing in the choir. You don't quit helping in the kitchen. You don't quit giving to the ministry. You accept it and say, Lord, I know you know what's best for me. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, that's good preaching. Whether y'all know it or not, that's good preaching. And you know why you're not saying amen? Because it's not necessarily popular. I prayed and asked God to let Olivia Bledsoe live, and he said no. I prayed and I asked God, know who I am. I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm a man of God. I prayed and I asked God, let James Bledsoe live. And God said no. And when God took him, the devil tried to tempt me and said, you ought to quit. God's been unfaithful to you. God didn't treat you right. But the Holy Ghost said, just accept the way I'm doing. I'm too good to do wrong. And I'm too wise to make a mistake. And even though you don't understand what I'm doing and how I'm doing it, just live with it, baby. Don't necessarily always understand how God's doing things. Yeah, but listen, if you'll trust him, if you'll just accept what he allows to come into your life. Habakkuk said, Lord, I want you to get it. Listen, last part of verse 16, he said, when he come up to the people, he will invade them. He's coming. And I want to tell you something, listen to me. And I'm just about finished. Difficult days will come. Sometimes they come in the form of family problems. Sometimes they come in the form of financial trouble. Sometimes it's tragedy. They will come. But if you can ever get to that place and say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I'm telling you, you have just put yourself in position to get blessed. Here's the fourth thing that I want you to see from the text this morning. And I promise we're going to rush on. Here's the little bullet point. And I think it's really important. Keep in mind that things may get worse before they get better. I know that's not popular. I know that's something you can't shout off of. But keep in mind that it may get worse before it gets better. Look at verse 17. And listen, and the key word in verse 17 is although. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Although all these things are going to happen. Some of us are in a storm this morning. Listen to me. Some of us are in a storm. And like Habakkuk, we're asking God, how long? And we're asking God, why? And we're right at that defining moment in our lives. We're at the fork in the road where one says, keep going, and the other sign says, quit on God. And some of us are leaning toward the quit on God. And we're saying to God, if you don't make things better, I'm going to quit. But let me just tell you, honey, it might get worse before it gets better. I know that's not what you come to hear this morning. I understand that. Like Dr. Rogers, I wish I could stand here and biblically preach to you that it's going to be all honey and no bees. And all roses and no thorns. It's going to be all chicken and no feathers. But life is not like that. And whatever you're dealing with now, it's possible that it could get worse before it gets better. But the good news is this. Are you ready for some good news? The good news is this, that if you are a child of God, better days are coming. Amen. Oh, it's going to get better. And I don't know when. But I know it's going to get better. We have the promise that it's going to get better. Number five, here's the fifth point. Habakkuk says in verse 18, yet. Need to underline that. That's a powerful little word. Yet. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. How do you pray in dark times? How do you face difficult times? Listen, you make a decision that even if my circumstances don't change, even if things don't get no better, I got my joy in the Lord. My hope is in Him, not in my circumstances. Not in my situation. Not if things get better. Listen, my rejoicing is in the Lord. Habakkuk said, this is what I'm going to do. Even if there's no fruit on the vine, even if there's no ox in the stall, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. You know, here's one of the problems in the church. And it's from the pulpit to the back door. We rejoice more in the material blessings that God give us than we do in who God is. Would you still come? Now, listen, if that person beside you sleep, hit them real quick because I want them to hear this. Would you still come to church if you lost your house today?
Come on.
Would you turn on God if God was to take back his money in your bank account?
Come on, come on.
Would you still follow the Lord if tragedy struck your family? Habakkuk said, listen. Even if there's no ox in the stall, if there's no sheep or herd in the stalls, if the fruit of the vine don't produce, he said, yet I'm going to rejoice in you. Yet I'm going to rejoice in you. In verse 18, he said, I'm going to rejoice in him. But in verse 19, he said, I'm going to rely on him. I'm going to rely on him. Verse 19 reads, the Lord God is my strength. You need to underline that. The Lord God is my strength, not my bank account. Not my position on my job. Not the title in front of my name. Not my education.
Amen.
Listen, the Lord God is my strength. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon my high places. In verse 18, he said, I'm going to rejoice in him. But in verse 19, he said, I'm going to rely on him. I'm going to trust him because he's my strength. He is my strength. I certainly don't want to make this message about Jesse and Vaden, but they're fresh on my heart. And as I sit and talk to her last night, I seen a strength in Jesse that I know didn't belong to Jesse. I seen a joy in Jesse that I know came from another world. In fact, I heard the testimony of a child of God who's going through a dark valley in life with some inner light, even though the circumstances have not changed. Let me tell you this. I feel like preaching. Listen, let me tell you this. By the time we get to chapter 3 and these last three verses, nothing has changed on the outside.
That's right.
Listen, the people are still doing wickedly. The nation is still in trouble. And Babylon is still on the way. Nothing had changed on the outside. What had changed was on the inside. Habakkuk said, I'm going to rely on you because you are my strength. And I know you will get me through this. As I got ready to leave Miss Jessie last night, she said, Brother Anthony, I don't understand this. She said, I've asked myself 1,000 times, why? She said, I have to deal with the what ifs. You know the what ifs that keep popping up in your mind. What if I had a did this? What if I had a did that? What if I had a went this way? What if I had a drove the what ifs? She said, I'm having to deal with those things. But then she said to me in so many words, I know God's got you. And I trust him. Dark season will come. None of us are immune. None of us are exempt. And knowing how to approach God in those dark seasons is so vitally important. You stand with me this morning.